As we come around the Word of God, we praise you, Lord, and thank you for your Word. We thank you that you, by your Spirit, desire to increase us and to teach us. And Lord, we are open to that. Father, let everyone here be blessed abundantly in the name of Jesus. Amen. We're looking at the Word of God in our mouth and in our heart, part three. We have seen that the importance of believing the Word, the importance of getting the Word into your heart, has been the preeminent thing. One thing we must understand is that there are certain barriers, and those barriers can actually be put in place by the enemy and by our own decisions to keep the Word of God out of people's hearts. And so it's important for us to understand that that is a strategy of the devil. But first of all, let's go to Romans 10, verses 8 to 18. I want to briefly go over the process of getting the Word of God into your heart, the process that is shown in the Scripture here and is very clear as we look at it. So Romans 10, starting from verse 8, and we'll go to verse 18. Verse 8 says, "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach." So God wants the word of God in two places. He wants it in your mouth and in your heart. And notice it's the word of faith. So it's a word that will produce faith. And it can't be just in your mouth and it can't be just in your heart. It's got to be in those places. And the word is nigh thee. It's near you. It's close to you. And it's also the word of faith which we preach. So we want to understand about that process of how the word of God gets in your heart and also how it comes out of your mouth. Because if you don't understand that, then you're going to not understand how to grow in faith, how to increase, and how to walk the way of faith. Verse 9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The gospel, the word of God concerning what the Lord Jesus Christ did, is presented to you, and you can either reject it or accept it. If you believe that Jesus came and died for your sin, he became a curse, and that he was raised from the dead for you, if you confess with your mouth that he is the Lord in your life and believe that he, in your heart that he's raised from the dead, you'll be saved. And that's a reality. That's being born again. You come into the kingdom of God. So believing is important, isn't it? It's talking about believing in your heart. Believe in thine heart. That means that in the heart there's a function called believing. A function called believing. And we can get a bit of an idea of how the enemy might try to stop that function from working through what is known as unbelief. We'll look at that in more detail later. Verse 10 says, "For with the heart man believeth." Let's consider that. With the heart man believeth. It's not just with your mind, but the whole heart man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So notice the heart and the mouth, hand in hand. The heart and the mouth. So what do you believe in your heart? Your mouth will confess. Your mouth will say things. Verse 11, "For the scripture saith," so this is what the word, what you would base your salvation upon, the word of God, the scripture. "The scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That's a promise of God. That word came to you. You call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. So we are saved through believing the word that came to us. The word that Jesus is the Saviour and that we need to be saved from sin. We have accepted that word if we're saved. we have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, believed on his name, call upon his name. Verse 14 to 18 goes through the process. And it's a process we have to get very clear in our hearts about how the Lord gets his word into people's hearts and then out of their mouths. Verse 14 says, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." So, what is the process? Well, verse 15 says, how shall they preach except they be sent? That means that there are people that are sent to give the word. Now, yes, that includes the ministers of God. In Ephesians 4, talks about pastors, teachers, prophets, evangelists, and so on. They're not the only people that are sent to give the word, though. Okay? We know that there are others, that is, in the body of Christ, even ourselves, who are called to go into all the world and preach the gospel. So we are sent as ambassadors for Christ in the world that we are in now to speak the word of God. And if we're sent, then, and if people are sent, then they are going to, on to the next part, preach or present the word of God to people. You'll notice that there are some countries that won't even allow missionaries into their nations. For example, Saudi Arabia. And because of that, there's very few Christians in that nation. Why? Because there isn't any presentation or preaching of the word of God. And so how can they believe? How can they hear if there's no presentation of the gospel? So that nation is locked away from salvation at the moment. I'm not saying that it won't be unlocked in the future. That's quite possible. But it is an example to us, an object lesson, if you like, of what happens to a nation when the word of God is kept out of it. What happens to that nation is salvation is not present. There is not people that call upon the name of the Lord. Because if you look in verse 14, okay, there's been people who have been sent, they preach, and you'll notice that how shall they hear without a preacher? So what happens when the preaching comes? People start to hear, don't they? They start to hear. And this is the whole process. Hear with your inner man ears, not just with your outer man ears, but hear with your inner man ears. You hear what the word preached is saying. And if there's any barriers to hearing, you get that out. There might need to be repentance. The Bible talks about people whose heart is grossed and they have ears to hear, but they do not hear. That shouldn't be us. And also it says, how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? So there's preaching, you're hearing, and then what happens when you're hearing? You start to believe. Start to believe. Praise the Lord. Because in your heart is where the process of the word of God is working. And verse 14 also says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? So calling is part of the mouth process, part of what the mouth does. Calling or speaking or confessing. So, believing. Can we see the process? We must see the process. People are sent. Preaching. So the word is spoken. Hearing. So we hear the word. Believing. We believe the word. Calling or confessing. We confess the word. So, if you know that process, then you know that the enemy is going to try to come against in any part of that process. He's going to try and bring in problems to make sure the word doesn't get in your heart and get in your mouth. Okay? But the Bible tells us that we are not ignorant of his devices. We should be aware of what he is doing and how he operates, so that then we can be sober and vigilant, as the Bible tells us. So if you look at verse 16, it says, "But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report?" So people won't obey if they don't believe. They won't obey if they make a decision to reject the gospel or to reject the word that comes to them. You know, the word of healing can come to people, but they might not receive it. They might not believe it. And so they don't operate in that healing and health. But notice what it says in verse 17, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So we see here what has happened. The word, people have been sent, the word preached, people hear, faith arises, and we believe, and then we call on him whom we have believed. We call or confess according to what we believe in our heart. It's not just believing anything, is it? It's believing the word of God, because that's why verse 17 says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So we're hearing the word of God, we're tuning ourselves to the word, and we're believing that. And then we confess that. Verse 18, "But I say, haven't they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went unto all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world." So, this is interesting. It talks about the sound going out, and sound is a physical thing and comes into people's physical ears. But you've got to understand about the human body. The human body is just the interface between our spiritual selves, which is the inner man, and the physical world around us. Okay, so we can understand that if you know, people can be in the inner man not hearing, and yet their outer man might have heard the words. But you've probably heard the saying, "You're not hearing me. I've said it, but you're not hearing me." Well, what's that saying? Well, they might have heard the words that you've said, but they're not hearing on the inside, are they? They're not understanding. And this is important for us to get hold of. So faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. We must have a hearing heart. But let's have a look at some of the problems or the barriers which can be put up by the enemy and to stop that process of the word of God coming into people's hearts. If you look at Hosea 4 verse 6, This outlines for us how people can be destroyed because of ignorance. And this shows us that we can't afford to keep ourselves out of an environment of the Word of God. We can't afford to stay away from an environment of the Word of God. And some people might think, well, you know, Pastor Craig continually emphasises that I should be at church or that person should be at church. Why is he doing that? It's not just for numbers. You know, it's not for that reason. It's because I want people to be in an environment of the Word of God. And I know, for example, in the services, that there is an environment whereby people can hear, believe, and get the Word into their heart, and then it becomes a part of their life. The Bible talks about engrafted word. The engrafted word, it becomes a part of you. But you must be in that environment. And Hosea 4 verse 6 is a great warning to the people of God. It says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the Lord of thy God. I will also forget thy children." So we see, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Now there are places people can go to and the Word of God is not preached or not preached much at all, or certain subjects are not preached on at all, for example, healing or prosperity or the baptism of the Holy Ghost and many others. And so they don't even put themselves in an environment of knowledge. And so they have a lack of knowledge. Or they're hearing all the wrong type of things And so they're keeping knowledge out of their lives in that way as well. Or they might have heard someone say something from the Word of God, but they reject it because of their own particular beliefs that get in the way. Rather than adjusting their beliefs according to the Word of God, they allow that to get in the way of knowledge. And that's why it says, thou hast rejected knowledge. Now that's a very, very dangerous place to be, to reject the knowledge that God brings to you. It's a very dangerous place to be. The Bible talks about people that despise their own souls because they reject knowledge. But what we see here is that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We must place ourselves in an environment of knowledge of the Word of God. And I dare say that anyone here who has been in Victory Faith Centre for some time will know that they've increased in knowledge. Praise the Lord. Well, that's telling you something, isn't it? It's telling you that because you've exposed yourself to an environment of knowledge, then you start to be built up. You start to be built up. And so you should know more than you did, say, 5 years ago. And you'll know more in 5 years from now than you did now. Praise the Lord. But you must be consistent in this, and you must place yourself in an environment, because when people start to reject it or keep themselves away from it, what happens? They start to allow destructive things into their lives. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We need to know about how to walk the walk of faith. We need to know about what God wants done in your life and in this city and in this nation and so on. We need to know these type of things, but we won't know them if we're not putting ourselves in an environment of knowledge. There are many things we need to know and grow in that if you reject it, then you're not going to be able to grow or prosper, but there'll be a destruction that can come. Let's have a look at another problem in Mark chapter 7, verse 9. Now we're looking at barriers to the Word of God coming into people's heart. We've just looked at the barrier of ignorance or lack of knowledge. Let's look at Mark chapter 7, verse 9, and we'll also look at verse 13. Mark 7, verse 9 and verse 13. Verse 9 says, and he said unto them, full well you reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. Now let's talk a bit about false tradition. You know, the Bible talks about true tradition or tradition received, and that's good. Like the tradition of coming regularly to church, that's a proper tradition. The tradition of partaking of the Lord's Supper, that's a good tradition. And many others we could point to. But there are false traditions as well. And these false traditions are strongholds of belief systems in people's lives. People might have a tradition of bowing down before a statue, or they might have a tradition that is in contradiction to the Word of God. And this is what happens when people hold on to false traditions in verse 9. Full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. Now that's telling us that there are traditions which are in opposition to the commandment of God, opposition to the Word of God. What has to happen if there's false traditions is those false traditions need to give way to the Word of God, need to be destroyed, need to be cast down, and the Word of God needs to be placed in. But notice that if a person wants to hold on to their own tradition, a false tradition, they can hold on to that, but by doing that, they reject the commandment of God. They reject the Word of God. If you go down to verse 13, notice what it says there in verse 13 of Mark chapter 7. Making the word of God of none effect, through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things ye do. So what happens to the word of God if a person has false traditions in their life? Well, what happens is that the word of God becomes of none effect. Now, we saw the process of the word of God in Romans chapter 10. We saw the process. But if tradition gets in the way, then there's going to be a problem with hearing, and so a problem with believing, and a problem with calling or confessing, because the tradition has interrupted that process, has got in the way. You know, people have various traditions about money. They have various traditions affecting their health or prosperity. And they let that get in the way, and they won't allow the word of God to enter into their heart. Notice it's a big barrier, isn't it? Because it makes the word of God of none effect. But as I mentioned before, there are proper traditions, and I mentioned a few before, that agree with the word of God, and that's great. God's not against that. But he is against false tradition, which the Pharisees and the Sadducees had, and by holding on to that and saying, well, you've got to do it all like this, and so on. And their false traditions got in the way of them receiving the commandment of God or the word of God working in their life. We don't want to be like, in verse 13, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition. We don't want that to happen. And so if there are false traditions, we need to get them out, because those type of things will stop the word of that process by having the word in your heart and in your mouth. Now, we don't want that to happen. So the first step is to be aware of the barrier. We've looked at, my people perish for lack of knowledge. That's ignorance. And that means putting yourself in an environment of knowledge of the word. We've looked at now false traditions, which, you can have people sitting even in an environment like this, but they might be holding to false things, false traditions, and those things are rejecting the Bible, the word. And they might even be sitting in here. We've noted, we've seen people do it, and yet they reject it. And by that rejecting and making the word of God of none effect, they get themselves into a dangerous position where the word of God doesn't work in their lives, because there's all types of things. I call false traditions weeds, blocks, barriers. It's a barrier. Let's have a look at another barrier that can stop the word of God, and the enemy, remember, is using these things. And that's the area of unbelief. If you look at Matthew 13, verse 58, Matthew 13, verse 58, and I also want to address, how do we overcome unbelief? How do we get to the stage where we don't have unbelief in our life? Well, the Bible tells us that as well. Looking at Hebrews 13, verse 58, and remember, Jesus, the Bible says, went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So Jesus was a powerful preacher, a powerful presenter of the word of God. Okay? He was the most powerful preacher that ever walked this earth. And that's the reality. Praise the Lord. And we understand that he preached the word wherever he went, but not everyone received it. Not everyone. Those that did receive it, received the word of God, where he said that he'd been sent to set the captive free and deliver and heal. What happened? Well, captives were set free and people were delivered and healed. And that happens today when people believe the word as well. But notice what it says in Matthew 13, verse 58. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Now, unbelief will stop the work of God in a person's life. Why? Because remember that process I took you through in Romans 10. People might say, well, I'm hearing, but then they don't believe it. They don't believe. They make a decision not to believe. So what's the way to get out of unbelief? The way to get out of unbelief is, first of all, to repent of it, and then to make a decision to believe the word. You see, we have a perfect Bible here. We've gone through quite a lot about the Bible being perfect. So it's a secure thing. You can believe it as truth. But you must make a decision not to harden your heart, but to allow the Word of God to have its way in your life. And related to that, let's have a look at Hebrews chapter 3. Because this is a very big barrier, and we want to make sure that unbelief is not a barrier to us having the Word of God in our heart and in our mouth. And notice what it says in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. And this is a very, very important verse for understanding about this barrier. And this barrier has been set up by the devil as a stronghold in many people's lives, right across this city, right across this nation. And this is a barrier. Take heed, brethren. So God wants you to take heed. Listen. Listen to what this verse is saying. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. What does unbelief cause you to do? Does it cause you to call upon the name of the Lord? No. It causes you to depart from the living God, to not allow the Word to come in, to reject the Bible, to reject the Word, and thereby, how can God do any great works in your life or through you? We saw Jesus, the most powerful preacher, and the powerful preaching of the Word was present, and yet he couldn't do works there because of their unbelief. Here we see an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. We don't want that in our life. And so that's very important. Notice what it says in verse 13. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. We don't want to be hardened, because unbelief is sin. We don't want to be hardened. Exhort one another daily. See, it's important to be amongst the brethren. It's important to put yourself in an atmosphere of faith. So there is exhorting. There is people speaking into your life and saying to you, believe this, it is the truth. The Word of God will do wonderful things in your life if only you'll believe it and confess it. The Word in your heart and in your mouth. Verse 15 tells us, while it is said today, if ye will hear his voice, so if you're going to hear the voice of God, remember that's important. If you want faith to increase in your life, you've got to be able to hear the voice of God. If ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. There must be a decision. See, God wouldn't give this warning unless you can decide not to harden your heart. He wouldn't give this warning to take heed if you can decide to believe. Okay? And I believe that if people make a decision to believe, repent of unbelief and make a decision to believe, then there can be a release in their life in many, many different areas. Many areas that might have been problems if they make a decision to believe rather than to say, no, I don't believe, or I've got too much unbelief in my heart, or and just accept it. You can't accept unbelief. A Christian, a faith Christian, cannot accept unbelief in their life. They must say, I choose to believe the Word of God. Otherwise, it becomes a barrier. It's a hardening of the heart. It'll stop that process of the word that I went through in Romans 10. We don't want that to happen. Well, let's have a look at John chapter 5, verse 24, first of all. John chapter 5. Take us through a few more things. John 5, verse 24. Now, we know that the gospel is presented, is preached, and people must hear it and must believe it if they are to be saved. And that's the beginning of the process in a Christian's life. It doesn't mean, well, I've heard the gospel and now I'm saved and so now I don't have to hear or believe anymore. That's not the case at all. We must continue in the Word of God. We must be believers constantly. Praise the Lord. Verse 24 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath," that's present tense, "hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Praise the Lord. Now we're in the life. We can now live by faith. Glory to God. Verse 46 and 47 says, "For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words?" You see, God wants us to believe all the Bible, not just some of it. He wants us to believe the Old Testament and the New Testament, the whole Bible, and to make a decision of believing in our life. Take heed, brethren. Take heed, brethren. That was the fact that we can make a decision to believe or not to believe. Important, very important. I want to go through two more scriptures because this is so very, very important if you're going to walk in faith and grow in faith. And, people can be resisting the Lord, but one decision can make it so that they can change and come into a greater level of God by saying, "I will believe. I know I've been in unbelief in the past, but I'm getting rid of that." Praise the Lord. Look at Colossians 3, verse 16. Colossians 3, 16. We see, and I want to concentrate on a very important part of this verse in Colossians 3, verse 16. That's the first part, but we'll read the whole verse. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." So it's in your heart that the word of Christ is dwelling. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom." Richly tells us something, doesn't it? And it says, Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Wisdom comes out of you as the word of Christ is in you. If the word of Christ is not in you, wisdom's not going to come out. If there's all types of other things which are contradictory to the word, those other things will start to come out. This is why God is emphasizing this whole thing. How shall they preach except they be sent? So sending, preaching, hearing, believing, calling or confessing. So it's a process. And what we see here is that God wants to get the word in your heart, but he doesn't want, little bits and pieces. He wants it richly in there. Richly in there, in all wisdom. So we know there's going to be wisdom in the word of God. Praise the Lord. I want to close with Psalm 37, verse 30, because this shows us that if we have God's word richly dwelling in us, then in all wisdom, then wisdom's going to come out of our mouth as well. Because what we're talking about is the word of God in our mouth and in our heart. If it's not in our heart, But then it's certainly not going to be coming out of your mouth, because God says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. There's a connection between your mouth and your heart. You can hear people speak all the time, all types of foolishness. Why? Because there's all types of things that are in disagreement to the word in their heart, in their inner man, in their spirit. Psalm 37, we'll look at verses 30 and 31. Verse 30 says, the mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. Notice what verse 31 says, the law of his God is in his heart, none of his steps shall slide. The law of his God is in his heart. Verses 30 and 31 is showing us the connection between the mouth and the heart. It says, the mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom. Why are they speaking wisdom? Because the law of his God is in his heart. In other words, the wisdom is coming out of the law or the word of God that's in their heart. Word in your heart? Word richly in there? The law of God in your heart? Then there's going to be wisdom coming out. Truth, wisdom, knowledge. All of this is going to come out of your mouth, because it'll come out of your heart. Because it's been in there. It's like a reservoir. You're putting the word richly into your heart. It's like a reservoir. And you can call upon that, and it'll bring out the right confessions and the right speech and the right words. So we see that the mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. Well, judgment is a reality, and it's something very important, and we need to judge properly. You know, you've probably heard people say, well, you shouldn't judge. Now, the Bible never says that. The Bible says you should judge righteously. Okay? And when it says, judge not that ye be not judged, it's talking to hypocrites in Matthew chapter 5. So we don't judge like the hypocrites who do one thing and say another. No, the Bible tells us right here, the mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart, none of his steps shall slide. It'll all have an impact on your actions as well, and your steps in God. We must be people of the word, and we must have it in our heart, and it must then come naturally out of our mouth, because it's rich in our heart. Praise the Lord. If there are barriers which have been set up to stop the word even coming into your heart, then those barriers must be addressed. Address the barriers, get them out of the way, then the word can come in, rather than there to be a rejection of the word. Let's close in prayer. Father, we praise you that you have put your word in the earth, that it is not a mystery, but it is something that's clear to us. You've placed your book in our hands. And what we need to do, Lord, our responsibility, is to believe that word and to act upon it and to grow in you. And Lord, I pray everyone here, and even those who aren't here, who should be, that they would hear the word and increase in the name of Jesus. Help every person in Victory Faith Centre. Lead others even in to our midst, that they can also partake of an environment of knowledge and of the word of God in the name of Jesus. We praise you and thank you, Lord, for your increase in our lives. And we open ourselves up to your spirit in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. The word of God is of great importance to the people of God. The word of God is not to be rejected, but to be received. Thank you, God. And the Lord says, my way is a way of blessing. It is a way of strength. It is a way of power. Thank you, Father. thank you for your word. We thank you for your ways, the ways of blessing and your benefits that you daily load us with. And we receive that in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord.